Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise God. It's been a wonderful meeting, but a different meeting. But you know, we don't need to just come here and have this go through the same formula and pattern every time. We just need the Lord to be here. And I believe He has. I believe He's taking us to places we haven't really imagined, and not the way we imagined either. And I confess, the thoughts that I've had tonight have been challenging, sobering. I've questioned myself, who am I to be standing up here and even talking about some of the things that I've been thinking about? But yet I sense that the Lord wants to take me deeper, and all of us. And I didn't even know how to get into this. It's not organized particularly, but you know, a lot of times we think of the Christian life, we talk about the what and the how. Now, what I mean by that is we'll define what the Christian life is about, and it's about being made like Jesus and becoming nicer people and how we behave and how we relate to one another, and that's certainly true, that we are being conformed to His image, and all when we think about it in terms of the kind of people we are. And so that's the what. And then, of course, that, if you're very honest at all, that you realize there's a pretty strong need for a how. Because we quickly realize, just like Paul did in Romans 7, that we ain't got it. It's just not in human nature to be anything like Jesus. And so we're going to have Him coming and living in us and then learn how to cooperate with Him. You got to have Him in there to start with. But then we got to learn how to cooperate with Him in His nature rather than the old nature. And so we discover that He's given us, as we've talked about, all that we need. We have everything we need. The question is, do we tap into it? Do we walk in it? And the Lord teaches us all of those things. And that's a large part of it. But I don't know, my mind just went deeper. I started thinking about this last evening, and it was, or before the service, and it really wasn't the time. But there's a deeper question than just what and how. And that question is why. Why are we called to the life that we are? And why do we live like, I mean, what really is His life about? Why is he the way He is? And you know, what is the chief characteristic of God, the single characteristic of God? Love. Now, you know, we have a human idea of what love is, and it's nowhere near. We are, as we've said many times, very self-centered. It's all about me, my little universe. And most of human love is basically a kind of a mutual win-win kind of arrangement where you give me what I want, I give you what you want, and so we both win, and then we'll go along, and if that doesn't work out, we'll break up and do something else. But it's very self-serving. And I'm afraid we are more self-serving than we might tend to want to believe. And even when we think about living for the Lord, an awful lot of our thinking is, how am I doing? You know, am I worthy? Am I doing it right? Am I, you know, it's kind of like our focus is on me and my needs and my feelings and what's happening with me and, oh God, and God help us. We are so self-absorbed, more than we would like to admit. And even when we're zealously serving the Lord, it's awfully hard to keep self out of it. Because the why oftentimes is, well, we want to look good. We want to be accepted and thought well of. And, you know, we'd like the Lord to be happy with us and in a prideful sense. You know what I'm talking about. It's me and how am I? We're still focused inward. And but why is God, I mean, what does God's love mean? What is that about? What is His love focused on? Is it about doing something that makes me feel good? It is entirely focused on the objects of that love. And they don't have to be anything. I mean, he gets more joy. I think some of his greatest joy is to reach into the garbage can to pull out something that is worthless and make a treasure out of it. That's where he gets his joy. Not from, look how great I am, look at all the wonderful stuff I can do and be. It's, I get to do this. It's, if I can do something that will lift somebody else up and fill their hearts with joy and meaning, that's what gives me meaning. And we're all exactly like that, right? Whoa. You start thinking about that, it gets sobering. But I believe God wants to take, like I say, to take all of us deeper. And I've had some scriptures come to me. I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but I got to thinking about Paul. And certainly the Lord took him down a long road. I think we've said more than once that he didn't get to where he was as an apostle overnight. The Lord took him through a lot of things. But when we see something, there's a theme that comes through in his writings. And it's not just, what am I doing? It's not just, how am I doing it? We know those things because, you know, God gives me the strength, it's Christ in me and all of that. We get that part. But the why is what shines through. And it is so different than most of our whys that it really bears some focus. And, you know, I'll read some familiar scriptures, but I want to get something a little different out of them. And one of them, of course, is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We read that a lot, and there's good reason for that, because there are many, many themes that all bear on our lives. So anyway, Paul's talking about his ministry, and he says, therefore, in view of the ministry of the Spirit that he's been talking about in chapter 3, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. So he's not just talking about himself either, by the way. He's talking about those who labor with him. I've got "we" underlined several places there. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, that is behind a veil, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves. Boy, there's something in that, isn't there? Paul's emphasis was not to, you know, look at me. It was not to draw attention to him. It wasn't about Paul. We're not preaching ourselves. And folks, we as a body of people are not preaching ourselves. This is not about the Bible Tabernacle or any of the other assemblies that are represented here. We have one job and one job alone, and that's to represent him. Amen. And to allow him to do it in and through us. If it's anything else, then it's just really human religion for pride's sake. And so much of that out there. God help us, deliver us from any semblance of that. All right? For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the message. He saved you, yes, but he's got to be in charge too. My whole destiny has to be laid at his feet. My past, my present, my future. He can take care of everything that's behind where I messed up. He can come in and give me what I need now, but he can set my feet on a road that will take me all the way to the glory that we were singing about earlier. Praise God. But it's all about him being in charge. My life is in his hands, not my own. So, okay. Okay, where was I? For what we preach not ourselves. All right. For God, well, we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, that's where I was, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice that word servants. That begins to kind of hint at where Paul is going in what he's going to be telling us. Paul didn't see himself as a, you know, some big religious figure who's just there to put on a show and talk down to the people in any sense. Paul came as a servant. Okay? So that's a key word right there. All right? We're servants for Jesus' sake, not for my sake either. Not for yours, not for Paul's sake. It wasn't about Paul. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now we know why that is. There's a supernatural thing that's going on in the heart of anybody that's called to serve, but every believer. It's all supernatural. There is a divine supernatural life that is born into the heart of every believer. Okay? So we have this treasure, but it's in a very earthen vessel, isn't it? We've got all these things to deal with. Okay? But why is it that way? To show that this all-surpassing power, there's power again that we've been talking about, is from God and not from us. God's going to do what he's going to do in a way that will show where the power is really coming from. It's never done with human ability or for human glory. God deliver us from that. And boy, we need some deliverance, don't we? Every single one of us are capable of doing things basically energized more by self than we would like to admit. And God wants to take us beyond that. Do we really want to be the kind of people he's called into the kingdom? I believe there's a good company of people here who do. All right? And the Lord knows that, and he loves every one of us. All right? Okay, but the treasure in earthen vessels. Now he gets into the part that we have often quoted, because oftentimes we're talking about handling trials. And the fact that even though we're going through this, we can still push forward because God's there to help us. And there's always that, I'm having a hard time, but, you know, we learn to get our butts in the right place, as we've said. But anyway, we are hard pressed. So Paul's talking about what he's going through in order to do what he's doing. We are hard pressed. Pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, don't have answers, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Why is that? So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. God literally arranged all of these difficult circumstances, and they were more of a key to what Paul was able to do than we would imagine.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685 Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.